book of the Revelation onto the last but one chapter, Revelation chapter 21.
It seems an unusual thing to go to the last book of the Bible when you're only starting a new year. You ever get a book that you want to read and you want to see how it finishes? So instead of reading from the start, you read the end first. Sometimes it's not a bad idea. Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read from verse 1 and we're going to read down to verse 5. Just five short verses, Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And what about this for the next sentence? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And then verse 5 says, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. When I think about something that I could say, a brief message I could bring you this afternoon, this first Sunday of the new year, my mind was drawn towards that last sentence which he read in Revelation 21 verse 5. What better verse to speak on at the beginning of the new year than God's promise, Behold, I make all things new. And that's what God really is in the business of doing. God is in the business of doing new things. God is in the business of doing exciting things. God is a God of surprises. And there's nothing dull, when we really get to know God, there's really nothing dull about himself, and there's nothing dull about the Bible. Because the Bible is full of new things. It talks about a new heart, talks in the Bible about new help that we can get, talks about new songs, talks about a new home for those that trust in Christ. It talks about new heavens and a new earth. It talks about a time when everything will be new. Can you even take that in? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? But it has to be true, because God says, Behold, I make all things new. Now, very, very briefly, I want you to think about five new things that God does. The first new thing is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And this is what God does when he comes into the lives of those who trust in him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So what that verse is talking about is about having a new heart. It's about having a new heart. There's a man who was preaching once in church, and he kept talking about how people have hard hearts. A little boy ran home to his dad and jumped on his knee, and he started saying, Dad, is your hard heart? Is your heart hard? Sometimes our hearts do get hard. We don't always like to hear about God. We don't always like to hear about the Bible. We don't always like to hear the challenge about sin. And we don't like to hear the challenge about salvation. Because we know that if God comes in, God has to take control. And we like to be in control of our own life and the way we run things. But the great thing is that when Christ comes in, he makes the change for the better. Not change for the worse. Nothing that we need to be afraid of. It's a change for the better. I wonder if you sit here this afternoon, has Christ given you this new heart of which he speaks? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, of course, we live in an age when people think, well, I can believe anything and still live the way I like. There was an infamous film which was made, a film that was made about a house of infamy in America. Can't say anything more than that. But there's an actress that acted in it. She's also a very famous country and western singer. And she acted in it, and it was one of the most horrendous films. But she still said, oh yes, 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 I'm a born again Christian and all the rest of it. I wonder really if that's the case. You see, when Christ comes, he gives a new heart. Now, you all know about our messages here in the church being on the internet, and there's other of our churches messages on the internet. Our moderator back home in Belfast, his messages go on the internet, and he had a very interesting letter or email from a man in America. And he wrote back and he said, "Dear Mr. Paisley," he said, "I was a Satanist, somebody who worshipped the devil." He said, "But when I listened to one of your messages on the internet and realized that I needed to be saved, the light dawned on me, and that day I gave my heart and life to Jesus. And now I take your messages and other messages and I distribute them around my friends, and I want them to know too what it means to have a new heart." So that's what the gospel's about. It's about having a new heart. Some people think, well, I can make my own heart new. If I just follow the example of Jesus, then everything will be well. There's a famous evangelist years ago in America known as Dr. Stearns, and he said this. Now, the story's told about him, rather, about a young man who said to him after the meeting, "I don't like your preaching. I don't like the things that you say when you talk from the pulpit. And I don't like you preaching about the death of Jesus. Could you not just do something a little bit nice and talk about Jesus as a teacher and an example? Don't talk about his death and how he shed his blood to take our sins away. Just tell us about him as an example." And the preacher turned to the young man and he said, "Well, would you be willing to follow Jesus as your example? If I preach Jesus an example, would you follow him?" He said, "Oh yes, I'd follow him every step of the way." And then the preacher said, "Well, let's take the first step. Can you tell me who was it in the world who never did a sin?" He said, "Well, of course it was Jesus. Jesus was the person who did no sin. Can you take this first step?" he said to the young man. He said, "Well, no, I can't." And he looked confused. He said, "I know I do things that are wrong. I know I do sin and I have to acknowledge it." And then the preacher said, "Well, your first need of Christ is not as an example, it is as a Savior. And it's only Christ the Savior shed his blood on the cross that can give us a new heart." So there's a new heart. We started off the message or the meeting this afternoon all about lovely hymn number 50. Talks about greatest high faithfulness. And in the story which I'm trying to tell, I only could put the rainbow up and I couldn't put the animals from the ark back in the sea. This hasn't been a bit pointless, I haven't the green bit to the bottom. But if I was able to split, I would have been able to tell you by picture form how God was faithful even to the animal creation, and how God was faithful to Noah and his three sons and their wives. And his faithfulness and his kindness reminded them that they could get new help from God. Our hymn began with the words, "Great is thy faithfulness," hymn number 50. And look at the Old Testament, the Book of Lamentations. That was written by a man who was known as a weeping prophet, a man called Jeremiah. His heart was completely broken because of what had happened to Jerusalem. Remember the story? The army of Nebuchadnezzar had come in and they had killed so many people. And he was crying. He was known as a crying prophet. But he was able to remember how God would still be with him. And he was able to write in Lamentations 3 verse 23 about new help. He said, "Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." That was written by a man not who had it easy, but he had it hard. That's the great thing about being a Christian. It doesn't mean you're going to get it easy, but it means that if Christ is with you, you will have new help. His mercies are new every morning. Last night, I had the sad duty of going to the hospital with Lowestoft and visiting a man who comes to us every Wednesday. He used to come to us every Wednesday. And he's been very, very sick. We prayed for him, he got better, and he got sick again. And it may be that he may never come home from Lowestoft Hospital. So that breaks our heart a little this afternoon. But I know that some years ago, when he was about 60, on April Fool's Day, of all days, that was the day when he was converted to Jesus. And he gave us, and he knows that if anything happens to him, he knows where he's going to be. Because Jesus will be with him to give him new help when he dies. And look, the Bible says in Psalm 23, all the children here will know about Psalm 23, you've heard about it. We all know about Psalm 23. Talks about new help when we come to die. Remember what it says in Psalm 23 and verse 4? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of..." What, doesn't he? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. My rod and staff, they comfort me." So the Bible talks about new heart. It talks about a new help. It talks about a new hymn. The Bible says that in heaven they sang this new song unto him. It says when God delivers us from trouble in Psalm 40, but we can sing a new song, we can be happy again. The psalmist said, he took me out of the fearful pit and from the miry clay, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Say, there's a lot of Christians that would need to learn a new song, isn't there? And sometimes they need to pick the new Christians. And the faith is strong. And longer still. I used to say in Ireland, faith is not that long as if you drink buttermilk out of the churn without having the pepper. They need to learn a new song. If your sins are forgiven, let's just look at it this way. If your sins are really forgiven, right? And if God is your Father, then, and if He's promised that He'll take you through death and all that, then you've got to worry about it. I don't mean to be light. I don't mean to take any Christian's troubles as light and meaningless. Of course I don't. And Christians' difficulties are just as bad, maybe even worse sometimes than other people's. But at the end of the day, we come back to this, that Jesus has said, I never leave you and I never forsake you. So you can sing. There's a hymn in our hearts. We want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. That's what we really need as Christians. We need the new hymn. The Bible talks about a new home. We read about that in Revelation 21 verse 5. This is lovely. I think one of the best passages in the whole Bible. Think about this. There's a lot of crying in the Word. But look, it says in heaven, there will be, no more tears. God will take His hand and He'll draw it over our face and He'll wipe away every single tear and He'll take away the ability to cry. We'll not see the pain. No more tears. Think about that. He'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. Goes on to say there'll be no more death. Well, what about that? What tremendous comfort to people who are suffering at the moment. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. Can you just imagine what it must be like? It's hard to take in, isn't it? An old hymn in our book that goes like this. We talk about heaven. We speak of the land of the blessed, a country so bright and so fair, and all through its glories the festive. What must it mean to be there? We speak about its freedom from sin, from sorrow, temptation and care, from trials without and within, but what must it be to be there? Can you imagine what it must be like to be in heaven? And it's a new home. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And if we want to get there, we've got to go by Him. So there's a new home. And then finally, I want you to think about the new heavens. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Now, the present world that we live in is heaving to and fro, isn't it? We saw that terrible tsunami wave crashing over. It spread. The thing that amazed me is it spread 3,000 miles away to the coast of Africa. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Nothing like it in our lifetime. And this is a troubled world. The world itself is troubled. There's trouble among people. It's a terribly troubled world. But the Bible says that there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. And it will be like heaven on earth. Imagine that. No more dealing of the earth going through, no more terrible natural disasters. God says, behold, I make all things new. God talks about a new heart, about new health, about a new hymn, about a new home, and about new heavens and a new earth. And you begin with the first, get a new heart through the blood of Jesus, and you'll be sure to sing the new hymn and get the new health and be in the new home and enjoy the new heavens and the new earth.